Hi guys, I'm Martin Portlock and I'm an actor from the UK and I listen to 30 Screams or Less. It's my go-to podcast. So, you know, you guys play your cards right and you can come to Neverland with me.
Warning, 30 Screams or Less may contain spoilers about movies that have recently been released. If you haven't seen the movie, go watch it, come back, and enjoy the show. Or, if you don't want to waste your time watching the movie and rather have two random horror dudes watch it for you, we got you covered as well. Welcome everyone to 30 Screams or Less, a horror movie podcast where we review horror movies in 30 minutes or less. Let's talk about something else other than this particular movie. The movie...
Yes, please.
Yes, now. So the movie's called Project MK Hex, written and directed by Gerald Robert Waddell, starring Ignacio Medina as Tim, Jordan Knapp as Nicole, and Will Jandro as Sean. The plot of the movie is, after his brother Sean dies by suicide, Tim begins filming the aftermath to process his grief. As he combs through Sean's belongings and digital footprint, he uncovers a disturbing obsession, a deep dive into a bizarre online myth about a secret government mind control program that supposedly went wrong. The more Tim investigates, the more he begins to question what's real and whether Sean's death was as straightforward as it seemed.
But before we get into it, Corey, last night I was looking in the mirror and you know what? My beard was looking gnarly. And I said to myself, I can't look like this. I gotta do something. So I decided to break out Beard Octane's beard wash and conditioner along with their beard oil, and dude, my beard looked amazing. I'm glad you turned me on to Beard Octane.
Yeah, of course. Like I said, I've been using their products for years and I can vouch for them. And whether you're pounding IPAs or chopping wood, you gotta look your best. Visit beardoctane.com and use the code 30screams10 at checkout for a 10% discount. It helps us. And like I said, the products are absolutely incredible. They're local too. They're based out of Connecticut. So help them out, support small businesses. We're not just slinging beard grooming supplies. We've been using them for a while.
Yeah, we have.
30 Screams or Less starts now. Corey, what did you think of Project MK Hex?
I was excited to watch this after I saw the initial trailer. Screambox was generous and gave us an early screener of this film to review, but it just wasn't for me. I'm a big fan of found footage, as we've talked about before. We love that genre, but this just felt like a long episode of Unsolved Mysteries for me.
Yeah, I could see that. I do want to give people a heads up first. Anyone watching this movie that has epilepsy, proceed with caution, because holy fuck, was there tons of flashing stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the whole idea of Project MK Hex, or Project Mechalikahanio. You know what? I was looking at it, and I'm like, is that Project Hex EXE? I'm thinking it's like a file. I'm like, I don't know. So I wasn't sure really what to fucking think of, like, the name. So
you should have post the audio of us trying to, because we were discussing last week before we started recording about how what we were going to review this week. And we're like, let's review Project Mecha High Mecha Ho. It was like 10 minutes of us trying to figure out how to say it.
I guess that'll be the blooper if I can fucking find it.
Or the beginning of this one.
There we go. So yeah, I see what you're saying. There was even parts in this where they were parodying a show for Unsolved Mysteries, and it was called Uncanny Fables. So instead of Unsolved Mysteries, there was Uncanny Fables. And this movie kind of played out like a documentary, but found footage and also kind of the making of a documentary. It's kind of weird. It's kind of like all over the place. And I didn't really know what to think of it. I kind of felt the same way about that movie. Do you remember the one that we reviewed that was like the Fomentary one about like the town that got demolished by, I think, zombies?
Yeah, The Sadness.
Nope, not that
wasn't?
One. Wasn't? No, that was an actual movie.
Wait, wasn't? It was a mockumentary about zombies.
It was way, way back. It was like a photographer who was the only survivor of like this whole town. And he was taking photos of all the chaos that was happening.
Oh, my God.
I know, but we did it way back. We did it while I was still in Florida. And man, when I saw that, I fell asleep while I was watching it. And it wasn't that it was bad. I think it was just so much talking and it was so monotone and just did not hold my attention. And same with this one. This one just did not hold my attention. I was doing everything else other than taking viable notes. I look at my notes again. I'm like, I think I was talking bullshit gibberish throughout watching this whole movie.
Did you happen to glance at how little I had?
Yeah, your shit can fit in a Twitter X post. I was accurate. Like, I think I can fit that right in there. Yeah, we'll just take Corey's notes, post them online, and that'll be the review of this movie.
Yeah, the transcript is all you guys are getting for this one. Sorry.
Sorry,
it's just
everyone.
Mine.
But this movie's quite long, too. I don't think it needed to be nearly 2 hours long. I think this thing could have been wrapped up in an hour 30, not 90 minutes.
Yeah, and not only that, but it felt longer than it was by a lot.
Yeah, there was a lot going on with this. There was a lot of confusion. I was very confused kind of watching this thing. I'm watching it and I'm like, okay, it's about mind control. Or is it? Is it about cults? All right, what is happening here? Is it about like gods? And so it was kind of like all over the place. They were talking about like an ancient civilization at one point, and they're talking about how the government created this whole program that's similar to MK Ultra called MK Hex, and it's based off of like a German word, and it was kind of all over the place. So think of it like this, and if you think of it in this context, it makes sense. When you talk to someone who's a conspiracy theorist and they've gone down the deep end on a particular topic, it's them spitting out all that knowledge that they have at you, and you're like, okay, bro, I get it. And they just keep going and keep going. And this is kind of what that movie was. It was 2 hours of them spitting out this conspiracy and a lot of flashing in between different scenes, and like it was kind of like all over the place. I don't feel like there was much direction on where it was really wanting to go. I mean, there was one scene I was like, oh, is this the twist? This is kind of cool. No, it wasn't a twist. That's when I got even more confused. And that's more towards the end of the movie, and we'll talk about it. But this is how I felt about the movie. I just felt really confused watching it. I wasn't sure what was happening. The notes I was taking, like, were kind of just bullshit notes. I didn't see much in this movie that really made me go, oh, that's really cool. I want to note that. And to be honest, there's not much really to talk about it. We could wrap this up in 10 minutes this episode, or we can just talk bullshit the whole time.
I mean, we can talk here and there. Well, I don't think we need to go through it bit by bit like we usually do. But like, I did like the concept of what Sean apparently uncovered. And that's the fact that the government has this machine that they were infecting people with nightmares, essentially.
Right.
It sounds exactly like what's happening in the world now.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair. Yeah, it does sound like that.
So yeah, the concept was pretty cool, but I'm not going to lie to you. I found myself pausing this and looking at how much time was left in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like time kept getting added.
Yep.
And I felt like I was the one getting fucking nightmare machined. Sorry.
It's all right. Even put in my notes, like, if Nightmare Machine isn't a band name, I'm taking it and I'm copyrighting it and I'm trademarking it. It's going to be mine.
You're a pro in trademarks and copywriting stuff now, so.
Apparently I am. So. Yeah, I'll trademark that shit. Or do a shot every time you hear Nightmare Machine, because they say it over and over, and holy fuck. If you had some whiskey right in front of you and you're like, let's do shots every time they say this, you'd be fucking trashed. Absolutely trashed.
Steve, just I have whiskey in front of me.
All right, well, you want to do shot for shot then?
Nope.
No?
No, I have a 3:30 a.m. flight to catch or a 5:30 a.m. flight to catch.
Yeah, you don't need to be fucking vomiting everywhere on the plane just because you're like, I'm going to go toe-to-toe with Steve on whiskey for this little game. It's almost like the Royal Rumble game.
I was just going to say it's like the Royal Rumble game that we used to play.
Oh, man, that thing was brutal. Oh, I opted out after a while because it's bad. What was it, like the 92 Rumble, right?
We always would do the 92 Rumble because it has so many dead people in it. And one of the stipulations was every time a dead person comes out, you take a shot.
Yep.
Or every time someone goes over the bottom, the middle, or the top rope, you take a shot. Or every time someone says something on commentary, you take a shot. Yeah, you're fucked before the middle of it.
Yeah, you're halfway into this Rumble, you're like fucking toast.
Hey, that's the best one too. I mean, that's the one that Ric Flair won.
It's arguably the best Royal Rumble ever.
Yep, absolutely.
I think everyone could kind of agree to that because the star power in it, and I think this was the first one where someone won a title in, right?
Yeah, because I don't even think they do that nowadays where they'll have a title defense in the Royal Rumble. It's to wrestle the champion or whoever you pick at Mania.
Right. And I think it was only a few years ago where Roman Reigns did the whole title thing. And he lost the title that way to Triple H. Do you remember that?
Oh, that's the one where he came back and won like a bullshit title because he was already pretty much in like CFO land or whatever he is, right?
Right, exactly.
Okay,
that's
similar
to
what
about.
They just did with John Cena.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's basically, yeah, he won the World Heavyweight Championship for the 2016 Royal Rumble. And that's the one where Roman Reigns was putting up his title on the line against everyone because he wanted to just fucking beat everyone, I guess. So that's what happened then. Yeah, he returned to the match as an entrant number 30 and eliminated Roman Reigns. What a bastard.
Ric Flair was also the first person in history to last more than an hour in the Rumble.
Yeah, exactly. It's the greatest fucking Rumble of all time.
Ugh, so good.
It is very good. I might watch that again at some point. I miss the WWE Network, so I didn't have to fucking scroll through a whole pay-per-view just to watch one thing.
Now you can watch it all in Cock-a-Pee-Pee.
Yeah, all in Cock-a-Pee-Pee.
Yep.
In case y'all don't know what Cock-a-Pee-Pee is, I think you should know at this. I think you should know by this point. It's Peacock. So I think Netflix is going to take WWE stuff soon enough. I don't know how long Peacock will have on that contract. But who knows? Man, I remember getting fucking WWE Network when it like just came out.
Oh my God.
I waited. Their website crashed.
The website crashed. I remember remember when they had the big conference, Vince McMahon had that big press conference to announce the WWE Network was going to become a thing.
Yeah.
And like we all went fucking ballistic because mm-hmm. I remember setting an alarm in my phone because it was a date. It was in February of whatever year it came out.
Okay.
And I remember setting an alarm into my phone to sign up and the website crashed like instantly.
Yeah, it took me a while to fucking sign up for it, and I loved it. It was great for a long time.
2014 is when it launched. Yeah, I was right. February 24th.
Good fucking memory, damn.
2014. I can remember that, but I can't remember yesterday. It's perfect.
I can barely remember a lot of this movie, that's for sure.
Oh, well, so, I mean, it's not like there was many memorable things.
Yeah, I mean, there was some kind of cool stuff about it, but yeah, I'm like going through my notes of bullshit. They are absolute bullshit, man. fuck.
Should I put them in ChatGPT?
Yeah, maybe I can summarize all of my bullshit notes into something tangible for the podcast. No, but basically, I could see some influence in this movie, though. And believe me here, this movie isn't all trash. This isn't like an Anchor situation. This isn't Underground either. And like, y'all don't know what Underground, we talk about it all the time. And we just think it's like one of the worst movies we've seen.
That's a long lost episode that unfortunately fortunately never got posted
because that one we could have wrapped up in 15 minutes easy.
That's too long.
Yeah, it's too long.
We could have maybe 10 minutes on the intro and then 5 minutes on the review.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That sounds completely accurate. I think we recorded for an hour and it was bullshit the whole time. So this movie, I could see some influence in it. I saw what I thought was like very Oliver Stone type influence in this movie because they do a lot of things like flashing and putting in little scenes or photos or whatever. And Oliver Stone tends to do that. Like if you watch Natural Born Killers, he's flipping between all sorts of different things. Like there'll be a demon showing up out of nowhere and, you know, things like that. And it'll be just like mid dialogue and like a demon is being posted or it's like a weird fucking camera angle or something. And I saw a lot of that in this movie. And I think that maybe goes with the chaos of the movie because it's a very chaotic movie. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of information that's being thrown at you. And that's what I was having a hard time with is that I was having a hard time digesting all of this information because I'm like, okay, cool, mind control stuff. And then he started talking about like cults and I'm like, okay, now you're speaking my language.
Yeah, it got weird because like you're following this part about Tim talking about what he's uncovered about his brother. And then we meet Nicole and like all these people who were involved in Sean's life. Mm-hmm. And then we like the screen pans over to like a documentary talking about MK Ultra and MKHEXE. And I feel like those parts of the movie were too long.
Mm-hmm.
Because you kind of forget that you're actually watching a movie and not a documentary about this microshell shit. So, you know, which is MK Ultra real? I've never looked it up.
It is.
It is. Okay.
Yeah, it is. I don't know the full story behind it, but it was released that, yeah, it was a thing.
Okay.
So I think it has to do with LSD, to be honest. Yeah. I don't think they were trying to create super soldiers, but it was something. God, I don't know if I want to dive into MK Ultra while I'm on a podcast. Why does it say MK Ultra TNA? No, not that. Just MK Ultra. Okay. Human experimentation project designed and undertaken by a U.S. Central Intelligence Agency to develop an identify. Oh, it's basically for brainwashing and interrogations and shit. That's basically the sum it up. If you want to dive into MK Ultra, go for it. I'm saying, like, anyone listening, go for it.
They're good too.
Actually, it's even on CIA.gov. They're talking about it. So it was a code name for a covert CIA mind control and chemical interrogation research program.
Okay.
So it's an actual thing. So they took a lot of MK Ultra influence and used that in this movie because there was a lot of references to MK Ultra. And MK Ultra has to do with, as I just discussed, mind control. And MK Hex is also about mind control, but I would say a little more chaotic. Like, they couldn't control it as well as MK Ultra, so they had to discontinue it and they had to just completely get rid of it any way that they could. Now, this is where I was getting a little confused, because I'm thinking, like, okay, all these references to MK Hex are being, like, scrubbed from the internet. It's being scrubbed from devices. Every single reference there is, it's being removed. So now I'm thinking, okay, is the government actually removing this shit? And I'm like, okay, that's fine. You know, the government is really involved in this and they're still involved with it. They have people that are all over that shit trying to make sure it's not out there. And maybe government officials could be, like, brought in and they dive into that aspect. But no, they didn't do that, which didn't make a lot of sense to me.
I was going to say, I feel like I'm watching this movie and there's going to be some kind of twist at the end, like a slasher film, for example, when you find out, like, who the killer is.
Mm-hmm.
Feel like something like that's going to end up at the end. Like, Sean's going to have found this out in his research that something or someone he knew maybe was involved in this.
Yeah.
In the end, that was somehow scrubbing the internet.
Yeah.
But they didn't go back and address that at all, right?
No, okay. They didn't.
Yeah, they never, like, they've made a point in the movie to say, like, several different times that there was someone scrubbing the internet, but no one knew who. And then they never revealed it.
Yeah, exactly. And apparently these cult members that you never see, they're the ones, I guess, scrubbing the internet of this stuff. That's never explained either. I feel like there was a lot that was not explained. And that's where a lot of my confusion lies, is that I don't really know how to process this information. I mean, you can say we're using that and, like, trying to develop our own opinion on what happened, and that's a good idea. If they want to just be like, we're going to leave it completely open-ended for you to figure out what the hell is happening, it's like, okay, well, maybe point us in some sort of, like, more logical direction, or just kind of narrow it down a bit, and then we can have a discussion. But otherwise, we're like, I don't know, maybe it was about the government, maybe it was about aliens, maybe it was about a cult, maybe it was about someone, like, just one particular person in charge, maybe it's people just going crazy. That's kind of what's happening, is that we don't know.
That's what bothered me most about this, I think, is they never reveal how all this happened, essentially. They just talk about it for, like, I'm going to say 4 hours.
The movie's like 2 hours, people.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty long movie.
There's no payoff.
Yeah, there's no real payoff. Like, for instance, the parents who were basically cooked, they were real fucked up over this thing. They made it seem like they knew about this. They took the information that Sean had and they were throwing it out. They were trying to destroy it, all this stuff. So it made me think, like, okay, are the parents part of this cult? Are they agents in charge of making sure that doesn't get out there? Stuff like that. No, I think they were just grieving parents, right?
The mother seemed kind of, I don't want to say possessed, but definitely something going on with her more than most characters in this movie.
Yeah. So she was definitely out there. The father was aggressive and very dismissive, just not wanting Tim to be involved in any of it. He didn't even want to be doing the documentary at all. He's just like, just let it be. Why are you doing this? All this stuff. And it's almost like they were kind of just trying to stop him from using this as his way of processing grief. And the thing is, like, they used to shoot movies when they were younger. So this was, like, the final movie, I guess you can say. So there was a lot of questions there. The friends, I don't even think interviewing the friends really made sense. I think they just kind of got thrown in there for nothing. Like, because eventually they were like, oh, yeah, we fell out of touch with them. Okay. Like, they didn't even.
Okay, it's thanks.
Like, thanks. They added nothing to the story. All they did was like, yeah, we haven't talked to him in a while. They could have all just been hanging out. Tim goes, have you talked to Sean before he died? And which they did at one point, saying, oh, no, we haven't really talked to him. We kind of fell out of touch with him. And then they proceed to interview them and saying the same exact shit. It's like, okay, you're doubling up for no reason. They could have just been left out entirely. Why interview people who were friends with Sean a long time ago, and then they go, oh yeah, he just kind of fell off. We just stopped talking.
The only one that kind of played into the story that they interviewed was Nicole. Everyone else was kind of just an afterthought.
Everyone else was kind of just like NPCs, basically.
They were GTA characters.
Yeah, they were just GTA characters. Oh, Sean was great. And they just keep walking. And then I remember Sean, and then just walks. That's all it was. So they didn't really need to be in this. They could have been taken out of the film and cut this movie down even more. So we meet Nicole, and Nicole is getting called from Tim from Sean's phone. I mean, he has Sean's phone. He has it obviously in his possession, and he found some footage of what Sean was up to while going through his digital footprint. So he meets with her, and she's a journalist, or she's like in school to be a journalist. And they start working together to developing this documentary. And then they make it seem like she's part of it. And like, he's blaming her, like, you're part of this. You know why he died, and you're the reason why he died. That wasn't the case. It was really just him going crazy because he's starting to see some of this MK Hex stuff. And I think he was just finding a way to blame her for something. I mean, I could talk all day to things that maybe didn't even need to be in this movie. But here we are.
Yep, we did an episode on it.
Yeah, we did a whole episode on it. I don't want to shit on it entirely, but it's not my cup of tea. I will say that. I like found footage, but fomentary, remember, that's an old one we haven't used in a while. Fomentaries, which is not even a word. It's a word I created. It's like the fake documentary. Okay, so fomentary or mockumentary just doesn't do it for me. I don't know. Even like comedies, I'd watch it and I go, eh, it's okay.
Did you see that they're making a sequel to Spinal Tap, speaking of this?
Yes, which is a mockumentary.
Right, but it's good.
Yeah, I mean, God, I barely even remember the first one, but I couldn't even tell you what happens in it because it's been so long. So I'll have to go back and watch that.
Yeah.
But I can't really think of any mockumentaries off the top of my head that are funny. CB4, maybe? Remember that?
Yeah, was that Chris? Was it Chris Rock?
Yes, it was Chris Rock.
Okay. Ooh, I'm going to fuck up right now.
No, you got it. It's based off of NWA.
Okay. What does that stand for?
CB4?
Never mind.
No, I'm not saying what NWA stands for. Absolutely not. You're on the wrong podcast, bud.
I'm just reading the plot. A guy makes a documentary of the rap band CB4 by following them. CB4 got popular by stealing Gusto's name, background, and image. He wants them dead.
Yep. So it's a mockumentary. It's good. Yeah, it's a ridiculous movie. If you haven't checked it out, give it a watch. It's a good watch. So these type of movies don't really do it for me. I do like found footage films, though. There are some that are fucking spectacular.
Yeah, we've talked about this several times. I mean, like Deadstream.
Deadstream. Fantastic. Fantastic movie. But I was going to say Paranormal Activity because there were some scenes in this where I was getting real Paranormal Activity vibes from it.
Oh, for sure. And like, so I remember watching like the first, second one, third one, whatever, and thinking this seems extremely realistic, almost like it could be like we were watching real footage.
Yeah.
Yes, they did a great job with those early films, but now it's just one of those movies that gets a new one every year.
Oh, does it? I haven't checked out any of the newer ones.
Yeah, it's been a while for sure. It's basically Megan.
Oh, okay. I actually honestly liked the first four. How many are there at this point of those movies? I know there's four of them.
Which ones?
Of Paranormal Activities, not Megan's. Megan's going to be a thing, though.
I'm going to ask ChatGPT.
Oh, God. So the first half hour of us being on this little call here, we just did ridiculous ChatGPT stuff. We're like, okay, we need to record this episode because we just kept going. We would have kept going until we're like, oh, fuck, it's 10 o'clock at night. Maybe we should skip this week.
I was like, can we just not record an episode and just keep doing the ChatGPT stuff? I'm having more fun.
Yeah, and I was like, we should do this. We should get this done.
Side note, there are seven films.
Seven? Ooh.
The last one was 2021.
All right. Damn, seven of them. Holy shit. Okay, so I've seen the first four. I haven't seen the others.
You should keep it that way.
Yeah, are they bad? Is this bad reviews?
I don't know. I've never seen him either. I don't think I've watched past the third one.
I'll check them out. The fourth one's not bad. It's a continuation of like the same family, which is kind of cool. So they kept it like, they didn't make it like some sort of like random family all of a sudden has this shit happening. It's all has to do with culty shit. It's culty shit. I love culty shit. We've talked about this numerous times. So, and it's one of the reasons why I love it. It's also very cheap to make, right? Those are pretty cheap to make. The first one cost $150,000 to make and made an ass ton of money at the movies. And let's see, what was the fucking return on that? How much?
On Paranormal? The first one?
Let's see, Paranormal Activity gross. Oh, I'm sorry, it cost $15,000? Is that right? Woo! $193 million worldwide. Okay, how much did it cost? I think that's it. Cost. $15,000. It cost $15,000 to make that movie, and it grossed $194.2 million worldwide.
Jesus, imagine being the director. Like, you just kind of have this vision where you want to make a film, and then you get, you know, a small amount of money, in today's world anyways, and you turn it into millions.
That's a hell of a return. I mean, put that in your portfolio, like on your resume even. Oh, I made a $15,000 movie and turned it into a fucking empire. It's like, oh, okay then. Hey, same can be said with It's Always Sunny. I mean, they think they filmed their first episode for like $50, something like that.
Really?
It was really cheap. Oh, okay. I was wrong. It cost $200 to make.
The first episode?
Anywhere between $85 and $200.
Damn, I never knew that.
Yeah.
And I love
very
that
cheap.
Show.
Yeah, and now the first season was then ordered by FX with the show's budget being $450,000 an episode. They bought in hard, and you know what? It paid off. So,
yeah, they're what, like about to come out with season 17, I believe?
Yeah, yeah, they're doing pretty well. Good for them.
That's like one of the few like comedy shows left that has so many seasons and manages to keep every episode original.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're all nuts.
And every episode is different. It's not like a run. Well, there are little running stories in a, you know, a handful of them, but mostly it's a new story every episode.
Exactly. It's a new story every episode, or they might do it like a dual episode where they'll have one story and continue it on to the next type deal. So they're very smart at writing. I was optimistic about this movie. I felt like that maybe it could have been a potential hit, right? I read the synopsis. I was like, it doesn't sound too bad. Like, we wrote a better one using ChatGPT, but I was like, okay, I can probably get down on that. I will say this. How do you feel about the acting? Uh-oh.
No, that's not bad. And I mean, this is part of my final review, so.
Oh, okay. So, well.
Because what?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, we'll talk about it a little bit, and then you'll do your whole final review.
No, I was just going to say the acting was pretty much fine, but the actor that plays Tim, Ignacio Mattina or whatever, unreal. He did a great job.
I was thinking the same thing. Ignacio, I thought he was great. I thought he showed a lot of promise. Crying on camera, not easy. It's not an easy thing. Not a lot of actors can pull that off. And those that can, it's very impressive. And I think he shows a lot of promise. I mean, how many movies does he have under his belt? I'm just looking now, but he's got a few. Some TV stuff. He plays a thug in Luke Cage? Really? Okay. Might have to check that out again. Did you watch Luke Cage?
Yes, I did. And yeah. It was so awesome that I don't remember any of it.
Oh, no, that's hot fucking sarcasm right there.
I mean, I loved like that they tried to bring the Defenders into live action, but I thought Luke Cage was kind of ass. Iron Fist was good. Jessica Jones was ass.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, they're kind of teasing it in Daredevil, so.
Which, okay. Yeah, I liked Iron Fist. I thought it was good, but it was basically identical to Green Arrow. It is like an identical story.
Oh, Arrow?
Yeah, or Arrow, I'm sorry, just Arrow. Yeah. It is identical.
Yeah, it's very similar for sure.
Yeah, so, you know, rich son comes home after presumed dead, takes over the company, starts fighting crime, all that stuff. It's pretty much just, it's Batman. So just another version of Batman. Except they, well, actually, Arrow doesn't have superpowers.
Arrow doesn't, but some of the people in that universe do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's DC, so.
DC, I think, tends to have more powers, right? They're more power-based?
No, they're just bad at everything.
Just bad at everything?
They're not good at anything.
Damn. Marvel's better at movies, I'll say that. Mm-hmm. But someone will debate me all day. And I'll go, well, I don't know. I mean, some of the Justice League movies are all right.
Nope.
You don't like any of them?
Fuck no.
Wow.
I wish they did. I haven't brought, although I will say, I have not brought myself to watch the 4-hour extended cut, and I probably never will because I hated the first one so much.
I did.
You watched the director's cut?
Yeah.
I heard it actually made a difference and made a movie kind of good, but I don't give a shit that much.
To be honest, I don't remember much of it, so I don't think it really added too much to the movie.
Yeah, and it's like everybody I've known that's ever really mentioned that movie besides you says that the Justice League director's cut, it makes the story so much better because there's a lot of stuff they cut out of the theatrical version.
They did, yeah.
Obviously, to make the movie 2.5 hours longer than what we saw in theaters.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. It's not something I'll watch, really. Like I'll go out of my way to watch.
It's like a damn near hour per member.
Yeah. The movie, this MK Hex movie was about the same amount as the Justice League director's cut, though. It was the same amount of time.
It felt that way.
They were the same length.
Gerald, we're sorry, man. Just too chaotic. Honestly, I think we should just go into our reviews, our wrapping up reviews, because, you know what? I'm sorry, real quick. I want to talk about this, because the ending, I thought was going to be a twist. Tim's, at this point, has been infected by MK Hex, and we didn't even talk about Nicole dying. Oh, you know what? Let's not do the end reviews yet, because there's a few other things I want to talk about. Ugh. Right? I know. Shut up. So the police scene, I thought was really cool, because they're filming it on a cell phone. That's clearly a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
And the effects that they did while still looking like a cell phone, I thought was really cool. And like they were doing the whole, like the screens flickering and shit.
Oh, yeah. How can we forget the screens flickering and the camera cuts and all that shit?
Yeah.
I think it was excessive, but...
Yeah, I thought that was cool. I did like some of the effects for when Sean was summoning this, like, wormhole thing. this is what I mean.
That sounded so ridiculous.
Yeah, well, he was basically, like, he found a way to channel the sound for MK Hex. I don't even know what this is even for, but he's got it on his iPod and he's making like the sound. He's got like all these speakers set up in a circle. And when he puts the sound on, and it almost looks like a wormhole opens up. And then you start seeing all these shadows appear. And this is where we're thinking it's the cult members, or maybe it's just shadow men, secret agents. We don't know. I thought that looked cool at least, but some of the effects I thought was pretty good, but I'll wrap all that up in my final review. Corey, why don't you go into your final review? What do you give Project MK Hex?
2 out of 5. I'm not going to shit on this completely, but I really didn't like this at all. It got lost several times in the story that I was trying to tell about Tim's struggles trying to find out why his brother committed suicide. It dragged a lot, and the constant camera cuts had me confused at times. The audio mix was bad. I found myself having to turn the volume up and down several different times.
Really? Okay.
And we talked about this briefly before, but the only reason I'm not giving this a 1 is because of Ignacio Mateño's performance as Tim. He's an amazing actor who did a great job making the viewer feel his pain.
Yep. I can see that 100%. And that kind of goes with what Martin Portlock was saying, is that as an actor, you go in, you do the best that you can. And if you perform the role to best of your abilities and the movie's shit, then you can kind of walk away and go, I did the best that I could. Everything else after that is out of my hands.
Yep, definitely.
And I think that's probably what happened here, is that Ignacio did the best that he could with what he had. And I thought he did great. Same thing. I'm going to go with a 2 out of 5 on this. I don't think this movie really knew what it wanted to be, because it wavers between mind control conspiracies and cults being behind the whole MK Hex deal. Thing is, if the government wanted to use mind control to control people, then why use cults? Cults are they're the ones that want to do the controlling. So I was like, that doesn't even make any sense. It defeats the whole purpose of them wanting to be in control. Overall, I felt this movie was just very confusing, and it played out like someone being an ultra conspiracy theorist. If that was the goal, then they pulled it off. It was also far too long. Practical effects were mid, and the suicide scene was absolutely cringeworthy because that rope wasn't even tight.
Oh, with a little kid, yeah.
That wasn't a little kid, that was Sean.
That was Sean, I mean, but he looked very small, and that, like, he must have been really young when he died.
Yeah.
But yeah, it shows him hanging himself in the garage there, and it didn't even look like it was, like you said, it was tight.
You could see this ginormous gap in the rope, and it looks like he's just holding the front of it. And I'm like, oh my God. Okay. Like, I don't know. I clearly saw that there was some sort of harness keeping him afloat. And so it was clear as day because you see his shirt was like real big looking. I will say this. Some of the visual effects used in the movie were done minus the scene of a bird hitting a window with a ton of bugs flying in it. And you can tell that was really just kind of half-assed CGI. But as a whole, I thought the movie was fine. Probably wouldn't watch it again. But if you're big on found footage films, then I say give it a shot. It might be your thing. You can watch it now on Screenbox. All right, everyone, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and YouTube. Leave us a 5-star review on all podcast platforms so we can get some more exposure. Of course, tell your friends. Both our intro and outro music are courtesy of Andrew Scott Bell. Be sure to check out Andrew on all major streaming platforms. And if you see Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey on vinyl in the wild, be sure to pick it up. We're also part of the Shining Wizards Network. Be sure to visit ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. They're an awesome podcast network ranging from wrestling to heavy metal, horror, all that good stuff. So check that out. Visit 30ScreamsOrLess.com for all previous episodes and transcripts to go with those episodes. Also, check out BeardOctane.com for their whole line of grooming supplies. And be sure to use the code 30Screams10 at checkout for 10% off your order. And if there's anything you want us to review, send an email to 30screamsorless@gmail.com or hit us up on social media. Use hashtag 30screamsorless. And also, we have some awesome merch for sale on our website, so definitely check that out. If you go to our website, at the very top, there's a shop link. Click that link, and you'll see all sorts of shirts, hats, mugs, things like that. If you buy it, it helps going towards our hosting costs. I'm Steve.
I'm Corey.
And thanks for listening to 30 Screams or Less. And don't forget to drink your beans.